This is Totally Cool Tech, the show that brings you the hottest in cool technology. No matter if it's old school or new school, high tech or low tech, it's all still cool tech. This is the Totally Cool Tech Podcast Edition number 502, November already, for Sunday and November 7th, 2010. I am Norbert Davis, your host, on this episode of Totally Cool Tech. It's all freaking random stuff, kind of, sort of, maybe a little bit. Well, not really, but yeah, we'll talk about it. Totally Cool Tech is a proud member of the techpodcasts.com network. If it's tech, it's here, where you will find shows that are family-friendly and work-safe. We're also part of the Blueberry.com podcast community, where podcasters and listeners all come together. It's Blueberry without the E's. Please go check out both of these sites for other great podcasts. The show is not sponsored by anybody and doing it all on my own. And I am powered by Mountain Dew Code Red. That's right. I found another 2-liter bottle today. Bought it and I've had probably more than half already. Started on Saturday afternoon here, and it is late. It's early Sunday morning. It's 2:38 right now as I'm looking at my watch, which means I got to bring it back an hour. So it's 1:39 now, is it? Pacific Standard Time on Sunday morning, the 7th. So that's not too bad. I'll get to bed at a decent hour, and I'll have this out for you in the morning. You won't even know a thing happened. Cool. All right. Well, on this episode of Totally Cool Tech, I got a couple things that I'm really been doing. And, I went on vacation and I wanted to build a Steadicam. There's this show I like to watch on the Roku. It's on Bitfly or something like that. That it's called Mechanical Mashup. And they are really cool dudes from Canada. So I guess, from the Great White North. They're duct tape specialists. At least that's what one of them has on his shirt. It says duct tape specialist, which is pretty funny. And they came up with a Steadicam mount for video cameras. And I looked at that and I'm like, that's pretty cool. But I don't want to build one for that because I don't use my regular video camera much anymore like that. So I wanted to build a lighter one. Well, they had one for your cell phone cameras. And actually, that's just a bit too light. But I think I can use those versions, and there's another version out there, and I wanted to kind of bring this to you because I want to build one of these things. I love to get into little things like that, and with my ADD, I'm hyper-focused on it, so I'm on that like a pit bull on a steak. So we're kind of going to go over that. All right, first of all, my camcorder. I have the Kodak ZI-8 5-megapixel pocket video camera with 4x digital zoom. Never use digital zoom. It looks ugly. And also has image stabilization. Now, this is really cool. Now, I got the refurbished model. It's refurbished by Kodak. So they've done all the work. It is in HD. It shoots 720p, 720p at 60 frames per second. Yeah, 60 frames per second. And it does 1080p as well. You can also get it in WVGA. Yeah, WVGA. And then there's also, it takes still pictures as well. 5-megapixel still pictures. Really, really nice. I like it. It's really good. When we were in Pennsylvania visiting my wife's grandmother, I used it in the car and I took some video through the front window. And it was pretty cool that the image stabilization did really, really well. And I was impressed with it, but I'm like, it doesn't look good when I walk with it. So I wanted to make the Steadicam, and I had seen on Mechanical Mashup those couple of Steadicam mounts that they made. And so I decided I'm going to do that myself. I've been working on it. I worked on it all afternoon. That's why I didn't really prepare for the show tonight early. I did it really, really late. Plus, my wife had some friends here, and they were loud and all that kind of stuff. But anyway. So what I've done is I've got some links to Mechanical Mashup, and they had, it was episode 21, was the one that I looked at originally. It was for a small camera, which is, a regular, high eight, maybe, you know, the small, a smaller comp, more compact, camcorder. It could, you could use the, tape version. You can use any camcorder with a typical flip out, LCD for, you know, your monitoring and all that kind of stuff. And they're both really good. I liked it. They did two versions of it, and I like the bent plate version better, but I don't have that heavy of a camcorder. It's small. It doesn't weigh that much. If I go back to the place that I purchased it from, which I got up here, it's Adorama, A-D-O-R-A-M-A. Have a link for you. It's $79 right now. I highly recommend it. It normally goes for like $140 to $170, so quite a good deal. I'm really impressed with it. And they have... What is the weight on this thing? It only weighs 3.9 ounces without batteries. So probably a little over 4 ounces with batteries. Or, well, it takes one square little tiny lithium battery, but it's cool. I love this thing. So anyway, it doesn't weigh that much at all. So I wanted to do, I needed something light. So I went to their episode 21 at Mechanical Mashup, where they took and made a smaller version of it with a wire, not a wire, excuse me, a rod, an aluminum rod. And I was too cheap to buy the aluminum rod. So I went out and I bought an all thread and decided, well, maybe it doesn't need to be that big. And so I bought two different versions, you know, a 1 footer and a 2 footer. So I put the thing together and through trial and error, I'm like, you know what? This thing really needs to be heavy, I think, to give it stability because I used a U-joint and all that. And it was looking pretty good, but it would swing too much. Well, come to find out, it swings too much because I got too much weight on the bottom. It really needs to be balanced top and bottom, and it won't sway. So I need to go back to my drawing board and come up with something different. And I learned that by looking at one of the hint videos that they talk about in Mechanical Mashup. It's there's a Haig Mini Motion Cam setup guide, and it's very similar to the ones that they built on Mechanical Mashup. I think is kind of where they got their inspiration, and they're all pretty much the same. There's a couple different ones that they came up with, and I also have a link to the $14 camera stabilizer. And that's pretty much either for, you know, a regular camera or for a camcorder that doesn't have image stabilization. And even if it does, image stabilization cannot tell the difference between intended motion and unintended vibration. So you'll get your image stabilization confused if you do it, do this wrong. The $14 camera stabilizer is basically just a bunch of PVC with a weight at the bottom, and you hold it, and your arm is the steady cam mechanism. This thing just adds stability to it, so it's more of a stabilizer, not a steady cam mount or steady cam arm and all that. Your body does that. It's a great idea, though, and it works really, really well. The Haig Mini Motion Cam rig is really, really nice, and it's really, really simple. And that's basically what the Mechanical Mashup guys did. They did a great job of showing you how to actually build one on your own. So, like I said, I'm going to go back to my drawing board tomorrow morning and build myself a whole brand new one, reconfigure it, and I will get back to you on that. And I'll probably put up what I did on the website, and you'll see some. I even have some test video show you before and after, just like they did on Mechanical Mashup. So, all right. So, speaking of video and image stabilization and all that, how about an RC chopper with a spy camera? This is pretty cool. It's from Air Hogs. And it's a flying RC helicopter that can shoot both video and still photos. It's pretty sweet. They take up to, 5 minutes of video of 320 by 240. And it will take a couple of stills at 620 by 480. Now, I found this pretty easily because my son would like to get one of these. I don't know if we're going to do it for him because Well, he has a tendency to break things pretty darn quickly. And things like this he really, really wants to get into. And he loses interest within about, a day or two. And then about every 3 months, he'll want to break it back out, play with it. And it doesn't really work the way he wants it to, or he gets frustrated and he gives up on it. So I might not be getting this for him, but it is really, really cool. Now you can get this Air Hogs over at Toys R Us for $50. Normally it goes for $65, or that's the list price, but they're selling it for $50. And it is actually pretty cool. There's a YouTube video, which you can watch over at Gizmodo. I'll have a link for that and a link for the Toys R Us. And there's some pretty good videos out there by users of it or people reviewing it. I think it's pretty cool. It's not the greatest, but it really does work. And you can go ahead and you can hook it up to your computer via a USB cord. And it even has editing software, video editing software that'll come with it, or I think it's online. But pretty slick. I thought that was really, really cool. And Christmas is coming. You might have an enthusiast that might like to play with this, a kid or even grown up. One of the videos was done by a 62-year-old gentleman who just loved this thing. He took it outdoors. He showed you him flying it. And the video from it in the same shot. He had looks like he had a camera strapped to a hat or something where he could actually watch the camera or watch the RC flying around. This helicopter is a dual rotor that counter rotates, and that way it gets a little bit more stability than if you've ever seen the Havoc helis that actually have a little tail rotor. And this one's got a little bit more stability than that. So this might actually be better for my son than the other ones because he gets a little frustrated with those. And they are somewhat difficult to deal with. But this one would be really, really cool for him if he could take care of it. I don't know if he could. But I don't know. I'd love to play with it. Thought it was slick. All right. Over at Geekology. I love Legos. You love Legos. We all love Legos. And if you remember high school biology... Well, a gentleman named Dave Coletta went out and created a dissected Lego frog as part of the mock Lego building Olympics. This is pretty slick. It's just like in biology class. He's got Lego-made scalpel and looks like Lego-made tweezers and a Lego-made frog. And all the everything's pinned down. The thing's been sliced open and filleted almost. And all the guts and everything are there. It's really, really good. Really detailed. There's got to be thousands of parts in here, and he's really got everything laid out really, really well. I'm very impressed, and I mean, he's got the lungs, the heart, I'm sure those are kidneys. I don't know what those things there are. It's got the spine, he's got the intestines, just a lot, some muscle, the muscular... skeletal system. Anyway, you can see muscles and skeleton systems and all that kind of stuff. It's really, really cool. And you can find that over at Geekology. I have that link for you. Maybe it'll bring back some fond memories of high school, maybe some terrifying memories of high school. Okay. Now, I love good tech that's being put to good use. Some cool stuff. Well, this company, a design firm called Teague, has been trying to identify opportunities to use less water. How can they figure out how to help people use less water? Now, water bills may contain statistics on how much is used, but they don't tell you where you're overusing it or using it improperly. So this was a way that they figured, hey, we can help out here. They designed a meter that is integrated with points of use throughout a home, namely the faucets, and that will provide information via Wi-Fi. And I bet they could probably come up with it doing Bluetooth or some other form. Maybe it's even wired. Doesn't matter. And in their first trial run, the meter was hooked up in a studio kitchen faucet. and the usage was monitored from computers at the studio desks, which resulted in slight improvements. But upon moving the data onto an iPad on display by the sink, the reductions were extreme, because right there you can see how much you're using. And they were able to cut 1.5 gallons in a single task, something like hand washing. You turn on the water, you just get your hands wet, get soap on there, turn it off, turn off the water, get your hands all soapy, turn it back on, rinse. Now, some of those can be reduced by, just using sensor faucets. Where I work, when we build a building, a lot of the facilities that we put these sinks together, they call out for sensor faucets. You've seen them. You've gone all to the public restrooms and you put your hands underneath there and a little infrared sensor, detects it, turns on the water. That's a really, really good way to save water. Brushing teeth would be the same way. You don't need to have the faucet running the whole time. And instead of using paper cups, use a regular cup, a plastic or a metal cup or something like that, or glass or whatever. And you're not putting all that paper into the landfill, because you don't recycle that kind of paper anyway. So that would, just be another way to help do this. So this company's doing a really good job. I hope to see that technology come to fruition, get out there in the open market, and be utilized. Maybe they can, inside the mirrors, they can go ahead and put a little meter or something to that effect. Or maybe it'll be right there on the faucet as well. That would be really cool. Maybe the faucet would project up onto the mirror, like a little heads-up display, how much water's being used. Or maybe it says, maybe it has a little light that comes on when you've used too much water for maybe a given situation. If you're running the water for more than 2 minutes, a little light comes on, something like that. So there's tons of different ways you can do this, besides doing Wi-Fi or Bluetooth, tons and tons of ways to do this. Pretty cool, though. I'd like to start seeing people do this. I got to get my kids to learn how to do that. I need to do it better. So we all need to conserve everything, electricity, water, all that kind of stuff. Okay. Now I've got this under Now See This, if you look on the show notes, and it's from Device. It's groundbreaking eye implant is already reversing blindness. Now, basically, this is bionic eyes. This is really cool. Now, over in Germany, there's a couple of individuals, three individuals who have had previously incurable forms of blindness, and they've been treated with a subretinal chip. And it is really, really slick. Now, it's not perfect, but the trio of patients who have received the implant went from being completely blind to being able to identify and find objects placed on a table in front of them, as well as walking around a room independently and approaching people, reading a clock face, and differentiating several shades of gray. So this is really, really cool. Right now, the implant works only on those who suffer from a retinal dystrophy, a hereditary form of blindness that causes the steady decay of the eye's light receptors. In effect, the German-made implant replaces these receptors and lets the eye do the processing of that it did before. Though the setup also includes a cable that goes from the implant to outside of the head, to a transmitter and a power supply. So it's not exactly, stealthy, but it does work. And it's just like a hearing aid, the bulk that comes with that. It's a small price to pay, but, to be able to see again is a really, really cool thing. This is awesome. I wonder how far this will advance, say in the next 10 years. I'm wondering if they can get this thing to, maybe be powered somehow, with the body's own chemistry, the body's biology, and something like that, and be able to transmit that information, via wirelessly or something, or maybe they can go ahead and, from Star Trek, Geordi LaForge, he had little sensors, where his, that would clip into, the side of his head, where his visor would clip in and basically see for him. I wonder if this could work the opposite way, you know, and go to the outside for maybe its power and processing. Really interesting. I'd like to see this thing go further. Just great technology. Really, really cool. Okay, over at Digital Trends, if you've ever traveled and you've taken your gear with you, you know it can be a hassle. I know it can be a hassle because that's what it was when I went this last time on vacation. We took a ton of stuff, and I had the whole backpack full of gear. I had a laptop, I had camcorders, I had digital cameras, I had my phone, my iPod, my kids' DSs at times, all sorts of things, all the cables and everything that goes with them, power supplies, charging, everything. You know, you name it, I had it. Well, there's a new travel pack. It's called the Weekend Warrior, and it's a tech-friendly travel duffel that packs your gadgets to go, and you can pack some, you know, clothes too. Imagine that. And it's from Scuba, and I followed that link and because I thought this was really cool. Not that I would use this one per se, but they have all sorts of other stuff that you can get. You know, they have backpacks, they have travel kits. Like I have a cable stable DLX. It's a highly efficient way to store and protect all the cords, adapters, batteries, electronics, and other accessories that travel with you. They have there's some convertible skins. They have the check-through collection, which I thought was really cool because when I've traveled, every time I had to take my laptop out, put it in another bin, you know, throw that through, put all my shoes and all that kind of stuff in another bin, and you got like 3-4 bins going through, you know, per person if they're traveling like I am. And this new check-through luggage, it unzips, it opens up like a clamshell, and there's a clear film, I don't know, Mylar or something like that, that they can see through, and they can see the laptop, and they can x-ray it, makes it just, you know, TSA friendly. And these are really cool. Some of them are, you know, like $99 for a check-through messenger bag. They got a sale on right now for that. There's also a sale on the check-through briefcase, or they call it a brief. It's kind of like a briefcase for $110. They have check-through roller bags, backpacks, large bags, small bags. Really, really good stuff. And, you know, anything from, like, say, $130 up to $190. But they got all sorts of other stuff, too. So you might want to check that out. Yeah, I think we've mentioned this before. I think it's like a Scuba wrap and some other things. But man, this is really, really nice stuff. And I wish I would have had something like this when I went on vacation. Really would have came in handy. So if you're going to be doing some traveling and, you know, the holidays are coming, you might want to check these out and look at Scuba Design. I'll have the link up there on the show notes for you for that. I thought that was really, really cool. All right, over in Australia, and I found this via ZDNet, a company, I think it's a, I don't know if it's a television company or something like that. Anyway, it's called CSIRO, and it introduces Wi-Fi to your TV antenna. That's right, you're going to be able to get internet over your TV band. So don't take down that aerial just yet. You might need that antenna. And this was really cool. And this technology allows up to 6 users to occupy the equivalent spectrum space of one television channel going at about 7 megahertz. And it has a spectral efficiency of 20 bits per second per hertz. And this technology can handle up to 3 times that of similar technology and maintains a data rate more than 10 times the industry minimum standard. So this is really going to be slick. So this is going to be more for someone who doesn't live near a fiber network, you know, could get out to using, they could get to using the new wireless system. This might be able to be used here in America, because if you have a really rural area where it's just cost inefficient or not cost effective to go ahead and run fiber out to, you know, some of these far areas, because you got, like, you know, one, two, three, four farms in like a 20 square mile area or something like that. You know, really some small towns, things like that. You could use this, you know, maybe bring fiber into a certain area of town, and from there you can broadcast out. So yeah, you might want to, if you're in Australia, please, you know, email me and let me know if you're going to be doing this, if you're seeing this, if you need this, and I'll have the link for you all on this. And I thought it was pretty cool. Being in America and being on fiber, it's really not, you know, something I have to look forward to or I have to look for. But I think it's actually pretty cool that they're going to be doing this for the people that are out there in the remote areas. Really, really cool. All right. Looks like Android 2.3 and 3.0 have been spotted in the wild. Looks like a couple of Android fan sites have noticed unreleased versions of an Android operating system pinging their site. So this is going to be interesting to see if they actually have something coming out here for Christmas, probably Android 2.3. And it looks like 3.0 might not be too far behind. Maybe it's going to be sometime in the first quarter of 2011. I wanted to say like 09 or something like that, but no, 2011. Wow. Yeah, it's year has been going by pretty darn fast. Now, I guess there's these two sites, fanboy sites, Androidian. You know, Android and Me and Android Central, they've both reported they have seen small, but, you know, there have been a little bit of traffic coming from devices pinging back Android 2.3 and Android 3.0.1. So this could be coming. Who knows who's going to have it? Everybody knows that, you know, Android is while it's a kind of an open platform, it's not exactly specific for each individual carrier, each individual style or type of phone or manufacturer of phone. So they all need to be tweaked a little bit. And I don't have an Android phone right now myself. I'm thinking about getting one. Yeah, that's right. I may not go ahead and get a Verizon iPhone. That might just be, like I said, you know, before, jumping on a grenade too early. I think I may wait it out, but probably wait till after the Christmas season to see what kind of deals they have on some Android phones. Who knows what's coming up? But it looks like that Android 3.0 is supposed to be the first tablet-optimized version of Android. So that'll be interesting. There's going to be a lot of tablets coming out. What is it? The Galaxy tablet. That's going to be a big one. And I don't know. You know, I've got the iPad, and well, the wife has the iPad. She's doing great with that. I don't see why we'd switch from that to something else. But Verizon did start selling the Wi-Fi version of the iPad with their MiFi and device, and it's like an extra $20 for that that connection there. Pretty slick. We basically have the same thing in her phone because she has a Palm Pre. She has just a Palm Pre Plus, and it has a Wi-Fi hotspot built in. So our little Wi-Fi iPad is 3G. I love it. Okay, what do we have here? Okay, last up, over at Technobob, looks like the Chinese have crabs. And no, not that kind of crabs. They have live crabs that are coming out of vending machines. That's right, vending machines. How do they do that? Well, they keep those suckers very cold. And what it does is it keeps them sleepy but alive. And the machine was designed to provide quick and easy access to the crabs and without having to go through a long trip, you know, to go out somewhere outside the city to buy them. So, you know, somebody decided that, hey, and we can start selling these in vending machines. And they're selling about 200 of these a day. You know, normally you'll find, you know, candy bars, snacks, sodas, water, things like that. But live crabs, this is pretty cool. And yeah, only in China. You kind of think that Japan would be the place that this happens because they sell everything in vending machines. But this is in China. This is really slick. I guess it's located in Nanjing, China. And in their Subway station, they sell about, like I said, 200 crabs a day at a cost ranging from about $2 to $7, depending on the size of the crab you want. And they already have a second machine in operation and plan to expand the, to other cities here in the near future. That is so cool. I watched a video of it on YouTube, and they show you how they actually package the crabs and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, thought that was pretty cool. Who knew that they would start selling live critters in vending machines? Interesting. Maybe we'll start selling like hermit crabs and stuff like that here in America soon. You know, kids can come up and, you know, mommy, mommy, I want to buy one. I want to buy that hermit crab right there. You eliminate the PetSmart. They'd be going out of business. All right, that's going to be it. I am going to go and take a nap because I'll be up real soon here. And I'm going to go play with my Steadicam mount. I'm going to fix that, get it tweaked and balanced and all that. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and edit this thing up, get it out to you, and I hope you guys have a good one. So that's going to be it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening to the Totally Cool Tech Podcast, no matter if it's on Stitcher Radio, the Roku Boxy, which they're going to be shipping out here on the 10th of November. So in 3 days time or so, by the time you hear this, it's probably already been shipped. But anyway, you can also catch us on the Roku Box, Boxy, iTunes, through your podcatcher, however you're getting this, you know, off the website, doesn't matter. I appreciate you listening. And if you like the show, and I think you do, please recommend us to a friend. Keep listening, because you never know when we might have another giveaway or something like that. Hey, we had 3 winners on the last episode. The winner, the big winner, Chris Cannon, he went ahead and he got his gift card. He opted for, instead of the iPad Maxi Vista application, I gave him an extra $10 on his gift card, so he got $50 from Newegg. We had Bree Santosa. She was another winner there. She got, I sent her stuff out. She should be getting this week. Bree, let me know when you get that, would you? I appreciate it. I want to make sure you got that. It should be arriving here real soon. By the time you listen to this, it might be there. Or it's going to be up Tuesday. It should be there Tuesday, according to the email we got from them. All right, and then there was Chad Davis. I still got to get this stuff out to Chad. Chad, I'm working on it, buddy. And I think you gave me your address, so I have to just put that in a box and get it out to you. And I'll be doing that this week. So, all right, that's it. We are going to be gone. Not gone. I'll be back. Should be back Tuesday. Tuesday? No, Wednesday. I record Tuesday night. All right. That's it, everybody. I appreciate it. Please send me an email or audio comment to tctpodcast@gmail.com and let me know what you think is cool tech and what we should be talking about on the show. If you got a subject or an item or something you want to talk about, go ahead, send that in. Make sure it's clean and I'll put it on. All right. You can go ahead and call me over at the podcast listener line at 540-999-TECH. And you know what? I actually have a voicemail from Bree, and here it is.
This is Bree Sansota out of the Washington, D.C. area. I was away at a wedding and to be a participant in the Walk of Terror, a big trick-or-treat production, which two of my sisters and I put on for the last 3 years in Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. So I just got to hear your Halloween podcast, and I heard that I was one of your winners. Wow. Thank you so much. Over the years, I've listened to your podcast and have gotten a lot of product ideas and actually bought quite a few of them. Loved your Halloween podcast. I just wish I'd heard this before I went down to the Outer Banks and would have incorporated the fake blood into the show. We had the best production ever. We got 1 million kids. Many of the parents at our show, which was done for the benefit of the community and was free, was much better than the $10 production done by the professional actors at the Lost Colony this year. I was just too busy to take photos, or I'd send you some. But a lot of people took 1 million of them. Anyway, thanks so much. Bye.
All right. Thanks, Bree. I really do appreciate it. Okay, everybody, that's it. I will see you next time.